You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm Randall White. We have one more story for you about pronouns, this time from a teenage trans person seeking health care. Michael Alonji was born in a female body, but he discovered at an early age that there are social and medical barriers to expressing his male identity. Cap Radio healthcare reporter Sammy Keola profiled Michael and his mother Jean in December of 2018. They spoke frankly about the challenges of navigating a healthcare system run by doctors who are still catching up with the concept of non-binary. They joined Insight with Beth Ruyak to share Michael's story, starting with his earliest experiences trying to fit in.
In preschool, I would walk around with a giant poofy skirt and a Spider-Man mask, and that's just kind of always been me. Like, I just don't fit with that binary that people seem to think exists, even though it doesn't. And then in middle school, I was in a place where things were very binary. You're a girl or you're a boy, and it's all determined by what you're born with. And I'm just like, I disagree with that for just life reasons, but also that doesn't fit who I am. And from there, I just kind of kept thinking about that. And then I was like, there's a word for this. It's transgender. Maybe I should think about that. And then I just like kept thinking about it and doing research. And then I figured out, that does apply to me. That's who I am. And then I just kind of did that.
So in preschool, it's not unusual for kids to play girl or boy or princess or warrior or kind of playing with all the different roles. So wearing a Spider-Man mask and a poofy skirt maybe doesn't mean anything at that stage. That's the place that I'm curious about, is where in your mind you thought that was different from any of your friends who might be wearing costumes or trying to figure out roles.
You're right. Anyone can do that. But as like I got a little bit older, I started to realize there's a difference between playing with something and doing it because it's fun, and that being who you are as a person. And the people I was around at school were more of a, you probably shouldn't do that, even if it's just for fun. And I was like, yeah, no, that's just who I am, and I'm okay with that.
It's a good moment for mom to step in. And from your perspective, what did you see as this child of yours is growing up and making this very big discovery?
One of the central values of our family really has been that there isn't one way to be a girl or one way to be a boy. And you heard Michael talk about the binary, sort of the social construct of what it means to be in one of those two categories doesn't apply so much, I think, or we hope that it doesn't. And so as Michael was growing and expressing himself in ways that were different from his peers, I just thought it was because we're not going with the binary in our world. But he started to express around middle school that he felt like we wanted him to be somebody that he wasn't. And I get a little bit emotional when I talk about that, because as a parent, of course, I don't want him to be someone that he isn't. I think it's my privilege as his parent to have him help me discover who he is. And at the time, he was discovering how to talk about who he was and to understand that. So there were a couple of years where that was a frequent topic of conversation in our house. How could he tell us who he was, and how could he understand who he was?
Was there pain during this time, Michael? Were you having a hard time articulating this? And Jean, did you end up feeling sadness that maybe you had missed something he was trying to say, Michael?
During middle school, it's hard for anyone to communicate what's going on. And like, I didn't really have the words to say what was going on, because I didn't want to be one of those people who's like, I'm just going to tell everyone I'm trans, and, you know, if I'm not, it's fine. Which, like, I don't like it when people try to be part of something that they actually aren't. So I was trying to be cautious of that. I was trying to find the right words to say things, which is just hard in general. Not knowing what words to use just made it infinitely harder.
Yeah, definitely. But I didn't know if it was just normal tween angst, or if there was something something else going on.
Well, if you had any doubts, Michael probably cleared them up for you when he said, I actually want to start the medical process. I actually want my body to change, which was probably something that, Michael, by the time you said it, you were already plenty there in your own mind. Am I right?
One of the things about medically transitioning is that if someone tells you, oh, I want to start testosterone or I want to start estrogen, you're like, whoa, this is a big, huge thing. It took me months to figure out that that was something I could do, that that was something I wanted, and then figuring out how to say that. So, like, I'd already spent a good amount of time thinking about this before I told anyone. I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize. They're like, oh, well, did you think about the effects? It's like, yes, yes, I have thought about those. I have researched them.
Michael knew about a year and a half before he told me. And that was about 2 years ago. And so he's just come out very publicly in the last couple of weeks. That's 3 years of process and 3 years of talking about it and working with a therapist and talking to medical professionals before getting to the, okay, now let's do testosterone.
We are going to talk a little bit more about the medical change going on. But since you brought it up, Jean, what about coming out so publicly and suddenly have this window into a very personal and what used to be private part of your life?
I have had a lot of like friends from school be like, oh, my mom heard you on the radio and she just thought that was so cool. One of my friends who graduated from high school last year texted me before I even had a chance to read the article and was like, oh my God, you're on Facebook. And I'm just like, yeah. And I've just had a bunch of people be like, that's so amazing that you did that. And I never realized some of that. And that's been really cool.
You're how old now?
15.
And a sophomore?
Yes.
At C.K. McClatchy High School. You, I understand, are in the Performing Arts Academy and History and International Studies programs. So are there skills that are actually helping you navigate all this?
The HIS program that I'm in, that's Humanities and International Studies, we have a lot of discussions in those classes and we deal with different opinions. And from those classes, I've always liked speaking my mind, but those have helped me to use good language to describe what I actually mean. And that's been helpful.
Jean, how do you navigate when to hold on and try to protect Michael and when to step back and let go?
It was really difficult at the beginning to know where that line was. But following Michael's lead in when and how to tell his story has been the right choice for sure. And making sure he knows he always has permission to stop. If he's entered into a conversation and it's not working, he can leave at any time. He's in charge of his own information and where it goes. You know, like all families with teenagers, we have strict rules about social media and the kinds of things that get posted. But in terms of telling his story, it's his choice.
You know, that's a question I would ask any parent.
Yeah.
And your answer actually applies to any parent and child where the young person is trying to figure out what to say about himself or herself. But the impact, Michael, of this topic and of being a transgender teen and figuring out how to transition and when to transition, it's a really hugely pivotal conversation in our country right now.
Well, and Michael's always been an activist on a variety of issues. So speaking about something that's so personal to him, it's moving and powerful.
So what barriers did you run up against in the first thing that you mentioned is hormone shots?
To get hormones, you need kind of like the seal of approval from a gender therapist.
Because of your age?
Yes.
At what point do you not need that approval? Age 18?
I think you always need a gender therapist's approval. But under age 18, you've got to be in care for a year before you can have that.
It was recommended to me that I start on hormone blockers, which basically just stop production of estrogen in my body. I did that. And the plan was, see if those help with my dysphoria. If they do, great. If they do, but it's not enough, or if they don't, we can start tea.
Dysphoria needs defined here.
So dysphoria, the real term is gender dysphoria, is something that most but not all trans people have, and it is basically just discomfort caused by being in the wrong body, and it's kind of like anxiety and depression.
So you had already gone into puberty in your female body?
Yes.
You had already started a period?
Yes.
And your body was changing. Tell me about the battle gene, and is that the right word for it? What word is appropriate in terms of how you met the medical system?
People want to do the right thing, but it doesn't move quickly. Yes, we hear what you say, but some of the providers that we talked with were uncomfortable acting because of Michael's age, because the binary doesn't really work in our family. So kids who come out as very definitely binary trans, doctors are a little bit more comfortable talking about that sometimes. But on the spectrum of gender, and gender is a spectrum, being in the middle, there's just a lack of comfort, not a lack of respect for it, but a lack of comfort in talking about.
You weren't unclear about wanting to change to a male body. That you were sure about, right?
Yes.
But there's sort of, am I getting this right, kind of an androgynous view of the world that you have?
Yeah. So I want a male body, but like my gender expression is kind of just, I wear what I want to wear. I talk the way I want to talk. I'm just me. I do use masculine pronouns and masculine gendered language, but just internally, I'm just Michael. And I think that's something that's really hard to understand for people who haven't gone through it. I don't understand what it's like to be cisgendered, which is just not being trans. And a cisgender person isn't going to completely understand what it's like to live in my brain. And I think that's kind of hard for people to understand.
What name do you go by at school?
Michael is actually my birth name. So that kind of worked out for me when I was born.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. You named your daughter Michael at birth.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Right.
Yeah.
I can't explain life.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so the name part is okay. How does the gender pronoun choice affect you? How does that register?
Being misgendered, like when someone calls me she or her, that often will trigger my dysphoria. And often, like, if I am at a restaurant and the waiter calls me he or uses masculine gendered language, that'll make me feel really happy and I'll feel safe. But if they don't, then I'm automatically just a little bit more cautious. And if they do misgender me, that triggers dysphoria. And when my dysphoria is bad, it is very hard to correct someone. And I think that's something that most people don't understand. Like when I tell someone my pronouns, who I've known for a long time, they'll be like, oh, you know, make sure that you correct me if I ever get it wrong. And it's hard to explain that you're going to get it wrong and people make mistakes and that's okay. But I can't tell you that.
I found it to be a powerful tool when it was suggested that I could just ask someone, what pronoun do you prefer?
Yeah. Yes.
It was like getting a new window into how to connect with another human being in a way that didn't mean that I initially offended someone first and then had to find out awkwardly later.
Beth, can I say something about dysphoria? So the problem isn't that then Michael is uncomfortable. The problem with dysphoria is the risk of suicide. Kids who are trans, about half try to kill themselves at one point in their lives. And so dysphoria is a very serious issue that we really need to pay attention to.
Can I ask you, Michael? It's a hard question to say directly, but have you thought about ending your life?
No, I haven't. I know a lot of trans people who have.
So what's next? What physically can happen next within your age range and what the medical profession can do?
So I'm hoping to start testosterone at the end of the school year. That might be slightly earlier, and I want to see how well that helps with my dysphoria. From there, I can be on testosterone until I'm 18, and then I can get surgery, top or bottom. I have to be 18 to do that.
Of course, there are always risks with hormone injections of any kind, but that does give you a window, as you just said, to find out how it feels with the shift in hormones in your body, and does that ease the struggle for you?
Yeah, and that's kind of something that I want to know, because having testosterone would reduce a lot of the triggers I have for dysphoria, such as like having a higher voice, things like that that people tend to brand as feminine. That's pretty much the reason why I want to go on T.
Do you think you sound more like a girl than a boy?
In my head, I think I do, but like when I listen to a recording of myself, I don't. I also am conscious of like trying to make my voice sound lower when I talk to people. I'm doing it right now. And I didn't realize I did that until I had some friends over and my mom walked in the room and she's like, whoa, you sound so different. And now I'm aware of doing it.
Well, there certainly are groups that have opposed any of this, and groups that think that teenagers can't really fully know what they want. And the story that Sammy did, I think you know, Jean, raised issues with a fringe hate group that's out there and the confusion right. level because of the name being close. So let's somehow address that that exists, that there is a very polarizing response by some people in this country to what Michael's experiencing and your family is too.
It does happen that transgender people want to transition back to the gender assigned at birth. It takes so much to go through this process. It's very rare that somebody then needs to go back. But it's okay if that happens.
I'd like to know how this goes for you, because we're still in this new frontier, maybe not in the experience that you're having, but the way we're all learning about it, which is, I think, the important aspect.
Trans people, we've been around as long as people have. There are, from most cultures, they have names for trans people. But in Western society, that was kind of like, we don't want to talk about that. And that's why I think it's important to do things like this.
That's Michael and Jean Alonji. We have a longer version of their conversation on Insight with Beth Ruyak and a link to Sammy Kaola's profile. You can find all of that and more on our website, capradio.org/insight. And that is Insight for today. I'm Randall White. Insight is produced by Kate Gonzalez and Cody Drabble. Our digital team is Chris Hagen, Casey Sycamore, and Emily Zentner. We got help from Helen Barrington and Antonio Muniz. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Insight's executive producer, Joe Barr. Thank you for joining us.